Tuesday evening, October 27th?
I believe it is.
Got one right.
Oh, Lord. That your spirit, your truth, your life would flow out of us and into us, Lord. Do that good work by your spirit, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your ways in our meetings, Lord. And we ask, O Lord, that that is the thing that will happen tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. When do you get a chance? It was really good. I got it from Shelley. In with Chuck's birthday card. I was thinking, I don't know, sometime today, I was thinking about my trip to Switzerland. And Walter Niederhauser, he had a pretty nice church. And I think most of the people tithed, I don't know, but so he had a pretty good income. And when they took up an offering, they get a good one. Of course, it was in some other coin, so I don't know what they got, but. But anyway, it was illegal for him to preach or to have any other Godhead doctrine except the Trinity. If they found out that he was preaching the oneness, because he became oneness, see? If they found out that he was preaching anything except the Trinity, they could shut his church down.
The government, huh?
The government of Switzerland. And it was totally against the law to practice deliverance. So we had all of the deliverances that we had in the bomb shelter. I didn't even remember where it was, but it was there somewhere right close to the church. And it had a foot thick door on the front. It was all you could do to open it. You know, it would open, but it was a slow pull on it. And we went in there and had all of our deliverances so that they couldn't be heard or anything outside, you know. And on the other side of the coin, when you walk into any little store like the Quick Trip or any of them, they had book displays, magazines, and stuff. Walter told me, he said, avoid them. Stay away from any of those wrecks. And so I did. But anyway, I found out that on these, the magazines, which was this is okayed by the government now, that they had a lot of magazines of bestiality. You know what that is? People having sex with an animal. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they'd have open, naked men, naked women, and animals. And they were right on the covers of some of these magazines. And they said that Sweden is as bad or worse. And and Max, remember Max Hossman?
Remember the name?
Oh, yeah, I remember the name.
Yeah, he was.
He at our church, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
He was married to Walter Niederhauser's daughter. And a funny thing happened. He had two daughters, and the other one was married. This other guy I met him, I can't remember his name, but it was kind of warm, and they just put air conditioning in. And the other son-in-law was explaining, he said, I don't know why it's so hot in here today. He says, I got the air conditioner on full blast, and all the windows and all the doors opened.
Took a little while to get the concept, huh?
Yeah, well, he didn't quite have it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Max Hossman, they have a different system over there. The government controls their money. And And so he was an electrician. You know, the last 2 years of their high school, they either go to college or they go into a trade of some kind. And he became an electrician, and 47% of his money, whatever his income was, went to the government. And out of that came, some kind of a socialistic system. Out of that income was health care and whatever, you know, to the government. So the government did really good.
Mm.
And I just happened to think about him, you know.
Mm. That is something that the law required, that the doctrine be the Trinity.
I understand, though. You know why? The same thing with Constantine. Let's eliminate friction.
Yeah, I suppose it.
Yeah, the one little thing I did notice in that was that they signed a covenant to go by the Nicene Creed.
Yeah.
Which I guess if they're Catholic, they would.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
But yeah.
That jumped out.
They wouldn't know the difference.
You know, it does make you appreciate the First Amendment, which permits, you know, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, everything else, you know, things that are, you know, a bunch of cultish practices. But, hey, the law doesn't, you can't go after them, but you also can't go after us, so.
Not yet.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to someone and explaining that just because it's legal doesn't mean it's not a sin. You know, I was talking about the various homosexuality and alternate lifestyles that people are now entertaining.
Yeah.
And because I tried to, you know, I was having a conversation with someone and said, just because the law doesn't say this is wrong doesn't mean it's not wrong.
Yeah.
In God's eyes. So. Mm-hmm. But religious persecution or guidelines is, and it makes sense why it was like the First Amendment too, because all those people had gotten persecuted pretty bad coming from England. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, we have a lot to be thankful for in this country, despite the hard times that we're going through right now.
Despite all outward appearances, we're blessed. And that's true. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Right? Uh-huh. But as Jan and Keith would say, so far.
Well, you know, on one hand, I kind of like that because I'm not going to put a pin on God.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking a lot Sunday about, if you think you're there and you know everything you need to do, that's when you really, really start to risk your salvation.
And who knows? It may be that persecution would be the making of us, you know? That will certainly happen.
There are certainly a lot of scriptural settings to back that up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I was at WWIB today, and I just made a comment. So I said, well, you know, we got about 8 days. 8 days, and all of this hoopla will be behind us to some extent. And the two people said, you know, it's in God's hands. And then they said, given how we've been behaving lately, God being a little upset with us right now doesn't seem all that unreasonable. I kind of went, yeah, we're kind of distancing ourselves from some of the founding principles of the country relative to God.
Man, I thought maybe I could find it. There was a thing. Who was it? It was a senator or somebody. Laid into Barrett. And he called, and there was a term that he was using. And it was, I can't remember what it was, but basically it was saying, if you follow the true tenets of the Constitution anymore, you're racist. Because it's open to being reinterpreted. And if you want to hold to it, then you're being antisociable, racist, and whatever. And he had there's a word for it, but I can't remember what it was. But I thought, oh my gosh, if that somebody from that thinking gets in control, then we are definitely in big trouble. Mm. Because they're going to rewrite the Constitution.
Well,
but you know,
not my first choice. But as I've said and testified many times, God has done more with me when things look dark than when I'm, you know, down in a valley than when I'm on a mountaintop. And as Charlie just brought out, sometimes we need a little persecution or travail in our life to let have him do what he's going to do. So, I mean, David really listened well to God when he was in a cave, hiding. Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in the tree stand, and I was thinking, and I wanted to pray, and I thought, how do you pray about all this? You know, because, you know, I thought, well, I did. I said, Lord, your will, whoever you want in there, you put it in because you put them in because it'll be lining up with your plan for whatever's to come. But then I did kind of just pray. But rebuke and hold back the demons from, you know, riot and everything else. Now, I don't know if you should be praying that either, you know, because if you're leaving in God's will, you know. But at the same time, I think you can always pray against the enemy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our prayers are always with a caveat. Unless we're 100% off on this thing. In which case, disregard that. That's an unspoken thing, you know.
Yeah.
Although, you know those prayers of Abraham and Moses too? When God wants to come and bring judgment. And they say, well, now, you know, the bargaining that they do.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have either Abraham's or Moses' position, you know. But that bargaining, he is a matter of holding back judgment.
And here's the thing, if you keep in mind, he could be giving you that prayer.
Yes, yes. I was saying that just occurred to me.
It yeah.
Very possible. That it was Abraham was hearing from the Lord when he was...
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so I guess if it gets put really strong on your heart to pray for something specific, go ahead and, I mean, pray for it. Because,
yeah.
You know, because some of it might be that's what he's been having you pray in the spirit about, and mm-hmm. now he wants it said out loud. Yeah. Some of it.
Revealed it in some way.
Yeah. 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 So... I guess that just helped me a whole bunch just going through that little bit of conversation, you know, about praying. It's, you know, if it gets put on your heart to pray against something, pray against it.
And probably one of the most valuable things that we can pray is, you know, and whatever we ask for, we need to say, nevertheless.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Not my will.
Right. I mean, that's why I thought, well, you know, why pray if, you know, that's the end. But then again, like we just said, you got to be open to the fact that he's giving you some prayer too. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think that we could move forward without having to have mayhem and property damages and, you know, just...
Yeah, of course that would be nicer, you know?
On the other hand, that might be exactly what God feels is going to happen because that's part of his plan. And so, because we really... For me, I'll just speak about me. I will say, I'm not going to touch Eric, I'm not going to touch Eric, and then I'm touching Eric. It's like, yep, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. Well, not that.
Well, there's such a...
Come on, God, come on. You didn't really mean that.
There's such a strong mentality in this nation to destroy this nation. You know, get rid of us. And there's so many people that have such a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I think, you know, it's pretty much given. Europe from day one would love to see America go down because we were the little upstart that broke away from them and outdid them and, you know, for a couple hundred years. But
who was that?
Europe, you know, over there. They, although maybe not everyone thinks that way anymore, but, I know that feeling exists.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were rather brash. Well, we were breaking away from something, though, that was enslaving, you know. It was freedom.
But our form of government has been an asset and a blessing to lots of other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know?
A lot of people have held that as an ideal.
Yeah.
So, you know, that book of Joel is a strange book. Joel's army, behind them is a desolate wasteland, before them is a Garden of Eden. Who's the good guy and who's the bad guy here, you know? I guess... Joel's army is the good guys. And you can say it's, you know, it's a, well, it's just like metaphor. It's not, they aren't saying literally. But he picked a pretty strange metaphor if he didn't intend some kind of chaos and disruption to be created by this army. You know, it. And I just see that. And I do not see smooth sailing. I just don't. You know.
You're back speaking about our country?
Wherever it is, yeah. Whatever there's a move, a powerful move of God's Spirit is going to involve chaos and disruption. If that, mm-hmm. you know, before you is a Garden of Eden, behind you is a desolate wasteland.
You know, in that book, or the thing here about Amy Barrett, her dad said he was not impressed with the Pentecostal church system. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And I was telling Shannon the other day, we were talking about it. I said that the thing has been... God has blessed a lot of people, and a lot of rich people that are in these Pentecostal type churches, and a lot of them are snobs. You know, I don't want to be like that. Judge Mitchell, and he said that he wasn't impressed, but. What, he found himself speaking in tongues in the middle of the night or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that tells you something, does it?
Yeah, it does. You know, when you have been given a glorious thing, it puts a terrible responsibility on you, and if you fail to respond right to that, it's Ichabod, you know? I know what you're talking about in connection with Pentecostal churches. Being given a gift, and here there's nothing more offensive than the thing you're talking about.
And so they develop, they find fault with what are these people that have the buggies?
Amish.
The Amish, you know, because they have their dress codes and so forth, and they have the same thing. Mm. You know, they have the dress codes, and if I was at a meeting one time with a stranger, a woman that none of us knew, walked into the church, and somebody that I did know, was saying, a minister, says, "Now there's a godly woman if I've ever seen one." Mm-hmm. All he did was see her. Mm-hmm. So his judgment of Christianity, or her Christianity, was based on how she looked. You know?
Yeah.
And it's a shame, but that's what we got.
You know, almost the exact opposite of understanding the heart of a person.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Kind of interesting the things that God's been leading us to then the last week or so.
Pardon?
I guess I'm just sitting here dwelling on the things that we've been discussing, you know, Sunday and last Tuesday and tonight, and going, well, let's see. We know you need to repent, and we know we need to do it right, and we're probably not doing that. And we've been brought under conviction because we're not paying attention. We've kind of seen that God could use a little chaos in our lives to help get us back to where He wants us to be. And I'm going, yeah, you start stringing these thoughts together, and it's like, it doesn't sound like a pretty picture or an easy road to hoe.
Somebody saying something to us.
I better be on my face.
Yeah. Well, what is that scripture, when judgment must first come to the house of the Lord? How does that go, Keith?
Well, it says judgment must first begin at the house of God.
Yeah, okay.
I'm trying to think of where it is. I should know.
And then either 1st or 2nd Peter?
I think so.
1 Peter 4:17.
What's it say?
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, yeah. And if it is first beginneth at.
Where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear?
Various translations, but for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. If judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed the gospel of God.
Yeah, okay.
It's another real cheery warning.
I kind of confused that with the scripture that says, I think that's in Peter too, that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will a sinner and the ungodly appear? And that's kind of scary. If the righteous scarcely be saved, You know that that's only a few verses, I think, from the one that says that, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I think that's in just a few verses away from that. I think that's in Peter, too.
Yeah. Actually, it's the very next verse. It's 1 Peter 4:18.
Is that what it is?
It's the very next verse. And if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners?
Yeah. And that's right. And does it say work out your salvation in the same area?
I'm going to start looking.
Maybe just before that?
To the Bible.
Yeah.
I know that especially that discussion Sunday and then Sunday night has definitely had an effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got me trembling a little bit.
No.
To work out my salvation.
Well, I've been praying in tongues some more.
Me too. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
I thought, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the revelation of like, that is really the one only thing that we can do of our will to try and be more right with God.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's really easy.
Well, there's really no good excuse not to be.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, back to you're not sincere.
Make your heart more pure before the Lord.
Oh. Hey, speaking of tongues.
it might be better for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What?
Keith, I couldn't find it earlier in.
Work out your salvation. And
well, yeah, work out your salvation.
Is that light too bright?
No. I can't see very well anyways. Philippians 2:12.
What is it?
Philippians 2:12.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So the spirit gets involved, but we don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Having an unfruitful understanding is maybe not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you certainly can't take any glory then, because you don't understand what's going on.
Right.
What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also.
Mm-hmm.
I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You know what? His will is involved in that.
Yep. I will.
And he says, "I thank God I speak a tongue more than all of you." Yet in the church.
Yes.
I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But even that, speaking in you know, the language that can be understood has to be by the Spirit also.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I mean,
uh-huh.
And that's, you know, like, and the prophesying, that's where we benefit, you know.
And I guess that's his very point there in 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his very point. Yeah.
That's how we're edified.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and let one interpret. Now listen, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. It's not wrong to be speaking in tongues. Just don't raise your voice for waiting for an interpretation. But you can still keep speaking in tongues. Let him speak to himself and to God.
Yeah.
Well, in order to speak, it has to be a something coming out. You know what I mean?
I guess that is right. You're not out of order by speaking in tongues if there's no interpretation, but don't keep at it.
Yeah, right.
You know, just recognize that this is a private, this is a personal thing. You know.
Yeah, I'd say not a lot of times that we say we did things right, but I think we did that particular sequence right. I know that when I was a new member, there would be a lot of praying in tongues, and the minute someone started giving an interpretation, the room went quiet.
Yep.
Because everybody's going, God is talking to us now, lend an ear.
Mm-hmm.
And even with all the other things that we didn't have, we did have that. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That hasn't been happening, and that is interesting. I don't know. I don't want to be too certain of what God's purposes are there, but I'll just throw this out in the natural. I wonder if we have perhaps reached a point of maturity where it doesn't have to be "Thus saith the Lord" stuff. We're more operating in a prophetic process or whatever.
And it might be too that it's there's been, you know, for a time there's been no new people.
Yeah.
To because that can have effect on them. It says, you know, someone can believe because of what they witness in the service.
Yeah.
You know, I have only at one time ever knew that I was anointed to prophesy over somebody.
Huh?
And just one time, that was with this Bob Hayden as we were going to Bogota, Colombia. Mm-hmm. And I saw him about 6 years later. Joanne and I drove down to Goshen, Indiana. He lived on. He had moved from wherever, and that's where he was living. And he stood there and he cried when they were talking. He said, you know, he says, I went in the power of that prophecy for 5 years. Because he was working with a bunch of Baptist people, and they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he needed the fellowship of that prophecy.
Hmm.
He didn't elevate me or something through it. I mean, he just said that it was a kind of a thing that it had an effect on him.
Hmm.
That's the only one I've ever had.
I never have had one.
But I don't even know if he's still alive. He's about my age, so he's got to be 80.
Certain people seem to get interpretations. Could be a ministry. And, you know, far be it for me to judge whether they're have a little bit, not enough of the Lord in that interpretation or not.
Who knows? Lord,
that's one of the gifts,
as he does
in Corinthians.
Yeah.
Some will interpret, some will prophesy, some will, you know.
Gifts of, right. Yeah,
healing, I mean, some will, you know.
I can speak, and I know that Susan has had a couple interpretations during the prayer meeting.
Semi-regular. And,
well, way more regular than I. Mm. But she sometimes sees things. And so, I'm closer to Keith. I'm at zero.
Women are more,
I think,
are susceptible to having an interpretation.
Seems to be the pattern.
Yeah, they're also more susceptible to listening to the wrong spirit.
Well, being fanatical, although there can be some fanatical men, but yeah.
But the husband, the man, has been given the something that he can kind of watch for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've never heard anything that wasn't edifying, and you know, prophecy is, what is it? To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. And those have all been like that, you know. And remember the little gal, or she from Seattle, she'd have services in the church. What was her name?
Oh, you mean Alberta?
Alberta, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She gave a lot of prophecies. And one of them was over Sue Berger, wasn't it? Berger, Sue Berger's mother or dad or something. He was going to be healed and do great or something, and he passed away. Which kind of blew Sue out of the water, if I remember. And yet, she gave a prophecy over Pablo and Candy, as far as their house, it was right on the money.
Mm. Yeah, I don't get these things sometimes.
No.
Well, I think I think a lot of it is God's just preparing and building this really strong foundation in us, that and all these things might start happening, but then there'll be true discernment and you'll know, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because you're in the Word, you're based in the Word. The Word is your life. Your food, you know.
Yes. Yes.
I think there's some truth in that. I know for me, I have been less inclined to just speak out because I'm really trying to make sure that I'm properly discerning, which is not a bad thing.
No.
But, I think given the past, it's like, well, we don't want to just go off emotion or, you know, a feeling. We want to be truly in line with what God wants. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I think if we get more and more like that, I think he's going to be inclined to start using it, you know,
mm-hmm.
when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be with much more authority and clarity, you know. So, yeah.
It says charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
I don't know if that quite excuses Alberta Quigley.
Huh?
I don't know if that quite excuses Alberta Quigley with her throwing those things around pretty darn indiscriminately. They're all positive, you know. She might have had a hit or two, but I think she had plenty of misses.
We really felt bad for her. Joanna and I got to know her pretty good. And she had a daughter that was a drug addict. And she'd get an offering, put it in an envelope, and send it to her daughter. She did that on a regular basis. And Joanne talked to her about it, you know. And kind of made her a little bit upset. And the last time I ever saw her, she was in the service. And I come over and I was standing by her, and she says, "I see the time when you're when there will be people coming from all over the place to prophesy and do in their church." And I says, "Alberta, it won't happen while I'm here." I've never talked to her since then. I knew what she was saying. You know, there's these people that are all over, you know, like the ones, remember the ones from, where were they from? From Texas or someplace?
Texas, that's what I was going to say,
yeah.
Texas.
Those folks.
Yeah.
And they just had their, you know, they just understood everything. Mm.
They literally elevated you.
Oh, yeah. But
honestly, it was a different group from Texas.
Right.
Well, it did make me sick. I've seen that in the Pentecostal church circles. But they think it'll give them a better offering.
Yeah, right. And it might work a lot. Who knows?
Not there.
Oh, I'm sure there's some, you know, churches that fed off of that like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they want to elevate the pastor. Make a God man out of him.
Yeah. I remember going to a conference, a Women's Aglow conference, national conference. And they brought in some prophets, you know, nationally known, Chuck Pierce. You know, he's a... And he said a bunch of stuff that, it just seems seriously wrong. Way, way wrong. But the reaction of all the people around was, to be hearing from heaven this way, wonderful thing. Well, my Hannah, my daughter Hannah was there, and then Haley, her cousin, you know, they knew darn well this was just totally bogus. There was no question in their mind whatsoever that this was, the guy was just pulling this stuff, you know. But all the people in the church were treating, you know.
Yeah, they wanted their ears tickled.
Yeah. And it just, I so wonder about big league Christianity, you know. Which, and that's what this is. Big league, you know, up in the majors.
Yeah.
Big league Christianity.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We remember that woman that her husband was drunk and lost his legs in a train ran over him. Remember her? I can't think of what her name was.
Someone that we had personal dealings with here?
Well, she's been in our church.
Oh.
I probably knew her better than you, any of you guys, but she had a friend of hers, and I know his last name was Lee. I can't think of what his first name was. There was a Marvin Lee, but this was not him. And he considered himself a prophet. And I remember one time, you know, Gordy Steinhauer, he's in pretty bad shape right now. He's got a problem with kidneys, I guess, I don't know. But he was a good friend of mine, you know. And we were up at a meeting, and he knew that Gordy operated the heavy equipment, and he gave a prophecy over Gordy, you know, that he was going to get hurt, really badly hurt in his thing and whatever it was. And afterwards, I asked Gordy, I said, is that concern you? And he said, oh. He says, I've heard too many things like that. He says, that's nothing to it.
And, boy, it's so funny that if you are operating in these circles, that you feel free to just ad lib or whatever.
Well, like I was just thinking, now what was edifying about that prophecy?
Yeah, I know. That's a little.
Jeez. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess that's just personal power, trying to get people to stop doing what they're doing on account of you.
But it kind of concerned me.
Oh, did it?
And Gordy says, no. Nothing did happen to me. It never did.
Kidney stones, yes.
Well,
terrible heavy equipment accident, no.
I don't know what he's got. He's got a kidney...
kidney failure or some sort.
Do you remember... do any of you know his brother Alan Steinhauer?
No.
Alan and Linda, they're in their early 70s. I tell you what. She talked to her. She's a friend of Shen's. And her and a relative of Schultz that lived down at the end of
Independence or wherever.
Yeah.
Whitehall.
Right down here. He lives right down here.
Oh.
And that has all the cars.
Oh, Schultz.
Huh?
Yeah. Schultz?
Yes.
Oh. I thought you said Shales or something.
No, Schultz.
I've heard this before. Anyway, so I just speak up sooner because
Linda,
I got it.
Linda's in her early 70s, and she's, but her and Alan went off to Seattle, and Alan got mad at me, and I haven't talked to him since he's come back here. He was mad because I didn't do something to stop Don Burnett. Oh, yeah. Don't get mad at me for that. But anyway, Linda is in her early 70s, and she stopped over here. I would not believe that she's much over 50 at the most.
Mm.
She has really kept herself looking nice. And as soon as I saw her, I knew she didn't go to the Pentecostal Assembly.
Now, is she still married to this Alan?
Alan's wife, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Clayton Stadar married Johnny Denver's daughter, Clayton and Jeannie. And anyway, I haven't seen him for 4 or 5 years probably. But he was where we saw him out to the Old Country Buffet, and he shook my hand and said, "God bless you." He said, he said it twice. So I didn't have a clue as to what transpired there. I don't know what he was even, you know. But something good was happening. Mm. Of course, Jeff Collier.
Yeah.